May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Redeemer. Amen. So, do you like what we've done to the place? Our prayer is that this will only be today and possibly next week, but we hope it might be finished by next week. And it's going to look spectacular. The re-whitening of the arch, the cleaning, the patching up of the bits that have fallen off and cracked over the years. So thank you for your patience just for this Sunday. So how do you climb the greasy pole that is your career? What is the secret of getting ahead at work, impressing the boss, and being promoted? Well, you're going to be surprised by the answer. According to the people who know these things and published on a website called DubaiCareerGuide.com, that sounds authoritative, doesn't it? DubaiCareerGuide.com. The number one way to get ahead in your career just seems wildly wrong. You know what you've been told all your life? Work hard, respect your employer, obey your boss, don't rock the boat, volunteer extra hours. That is how you get ahead. Well, here's the advice of DubaiCareer.com. Act like you own the place. So I tried to imagine how acting like you owned the place would further your career. In most jobs, acting like you owned the place would be a surefire way to end your career. So you walk into work wearing your slippers and your dressing gown because, hey, you own the place. You glance out of the window and shout at the kids to get off your lawn. You go to the staff fridge and help yourself to that fancy yogurt your co-worker brought in. And then you slouch at your desk playing video games for the rest of the day. That's acting like you own the place, isn't it? Or you can act like you own the place the way a cat does, strutting arrogantly around the house, expecting servants, and flicking its tail at anyone who doesn't give it its royal treatment. That's not going to advance your career either. Flicking your tail is just not suitable for work. Turns out I didn't really get the point of the article. It explained that acting like you own the place is to think like your employer and take responsibility for the success or failure of the company. Taking responsibility for finding solutions to problems, owning mistakes and applying what you have learned through them. Taking responsibility. That will work. I love the simple voice of Jesus in today's gospel lesson. It's a famous story. It is actually the only miracle of Jesus that is recorded in all four gospels. The transformation of two fish and five loaves into a banquet for 5,000 people, with enough leftovers to fill 12 baskets. Jesus is making his way around the towns and villages of Judea. He has received rave reviews. He's healed people. He's wowed the crowds with his wisdom and his insight into God and life and everything. And he's shown power over creation. So not surprisingly, he has attracted busloads of groupies who are now following him wherever he goes. And on this day, Jesus and the 12 cross the Lake of Galilee, hoping to get a few hours' peace and quiet away from his adoring fans. How do we know this? Well, in the verses before those we read, Matthew says that Jesus has just heard the news of the death of his cousin, John the Baptist, and he, quote, withdraws to a solitary place. Of course he does. Jesus is shocked by John's murder. He needs space alone to grieve. Imagine then the frustration and even the anger of the 12 disciples when, having accompanied Jesus to the other side of the lake to get this time of solitude, they look down and see hordes of people getting out of boats, others clambering up the hillside, still others trekking along paths with their donkeys, and all of them, 5,000 of them if you please, making their way to Jesus. But Jesus, grief-stricken though he is, drained though he is, emotionally wrung out though he is, looks with eyes of compassion, and his heart, that big, passionate, giving heart, is moved to give once more. Actually, 5,000 times more. Round numbers are so satisfying, aren't they? They're perfect. And 5,000 is more perfect than most round numbers. The people who sell us things, though, seem not to like round numbers. For them, $9.99 is better than $10. It's a brain trick called the left digit effect. It's really a thing, and it makes consumers feel that $9.99 is closer to $9 than it is to $10. People read from left to right, so the first digit catches your eye and sticks in your mind. So $9.99 registers in your brain as $9 and something rather than $10. There's one market, though, where the sellers don't try that brain trick. They are the sellers of luxury goods. You can't find something 99 in the Gucci or Rolex stores because that just looks cheap. What may attract customers when it's a tin of beans, 99 cents, will actually turn away buyers of luxury goods. So Gucci sells a handbag for $5,000 because 5,000 shows quality. Jesus' feeding of the multitude isn't a cut price $4.99.99 kind of miracle. It's a 5,000 type miracle. I said that I love the simple voice of Jesus in this story. This is a scene of anxiety. There are huge problems here. There are thousands of hungry people, many of them sick or disabled. The disciples are rightly concerned. It's getting late. The shops will be closed. They need food and drink, or some of these people will struggle to get home tonight. They could even come to serious harm. Some may face a threat to their lives. Jesus, what shall we do? And Jesus, in control of his emotions, trusting in God's unseen plan, simply says, give them something to eat. Come on, disciples, solve the problem. Meet the need. Act like you own the place. Take responsibility. Be part of the solution. Don't merely point out how things are lacking. Act like you own the place. Give them something to eat. In the training manual of the Ritz-Carlton hotel chain, there is a motto. It goes, if you see a problem, own it. Saying, it's not my responsibility, it's someone else's job, he or she should do something about this, is not good enough for Ritz-Carlton. There's a cartoon we've all received in our email boxes where Jesus is sitting on a park bench next to a man who says to him, "Lord, why don't you do something about the famine, the hate, the war, the suffering, disease, crime, homelessness, and despair in the world?" And Jesus replies, "That's funny. I was going to ask you the same thing." Sometimes we say to God, "Lord, do something. Don't you see the mess the world is in? Don't you see the suffering right here in our city, in our state?" And Jesus looks at his disciples and says, "You give them something to eat. You take responsibility. You do something about it. Act like you own the place." Are you one of the 12? "Lord, there's a problem. Please do something." That's me. It comes from being the youngest child in the family. I'm not responsible for anything. I'm just the littlest. Someone else will fix the problem, do the chore, take the responsibility. I definitely do not own the place. If that's you too, hear Jesus' response. You give them something to eat. Take responsibility. Act like you own the place. If you are one of the 12, maybe there's a lesson here for you. Don't sweat the problems. Don't doubt your resources. Simply take what you're given and put it to good use. As we give, we discover that our resources do not run out. We will complete the task God has set before us, and we will have 12 baskets of leftovers. We will see the miracle. We will experience the lavish generosity of God, because the Christ who made 2 fish and 5 loaves into enough to satisfy thousands of people's hunger is the same Christ who is with you and in you. God has an endless supply of whatever it is you need. Name your resource: patience, peace, contentment, material things, time, love. All those resources where you think, "I don't have enough to make them stretch to meet all the needs," hand it to God for his blessing. Then just go and experience the endless resources he has. Maybe you're not one of the 12. Maybe you are one of the 5,000. Hungry, empty, needy, pained, curious, intrigued by Jesus, and eager to know more. Maybe you are still, after all these years, looking for that miracle, an emotional healing, a forgiveness, a sense of peace. Maybe, like the 5,000, you've made a real effort to get to Christ to receive what you need. Well, if so, this morning, don't be nervous about asking. God is here, his love is unlimited, and his heart is compassionate. Maybe, though, you don't identify with the crowd or the 12. Maybe you don't have any great needs at the moment. Life is going well. You're comfortable in body, mind, and spirit. There's nothing worrying you or causing you distress. Relationships are good. You're living with peace. So you're not one of the 5,000 searching for Jesus, and you're not one of the 12 with a responsibility to meet anyone's needs. Instead, you identify with the boy on the hill. Remember him? The lad with the brown bag lunch who came to listen to Jesus. His mom packed him 5 bread rolls and 2 small fish. I can see him in his childlike naivety, sincerely offering his lunch, truly believing that Jesus could do something useful with it. And he was right. It was his faith the faith of the child that made this miracle possible. Let's not lose our naivety. God will use you in a way that exceeds what you can imagine. As we offer to God our money, our time, our enthusiasm, our energy, our gifts and abilities, so we can expect Him to take them, bless them, multiply them, and distribute them to a needy multitude. That lad was from a humble family. We know this because John, in his version, says that these were barley loaves, and barley is what lower status people ate because it was cheaper than wheat. Philo wrote that barley, quote, is of somewhat doubtful merit, suited for irrational animals and men in unhappy circumstances. So the boy didn't bring an expensive offering. He didn't hand over anything precious or refined. He handed to Christ something of doubtful merit. These are momentous days. God has placed us here at this time for a purpose. It was for this moment that we were born. Let us assess what we have to offer God. You may think, in Philo's words, that what you have is of doubtful merit, but let us offer it without reservation and without fear. Take responsibility. Act like you own the place. Amen.